You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Just a couple decades ago, if you went looking for grains at the grocery store, you'd find rice, oats, and that's probably about it. But today there are so many healthy and wonderful grains available, and you don't have to go to a specialty store to find them.
Our guest now on Food Friday is hoping that with a little info and some great recipes to try, these grains will find themselves on all our tables.
Terry Milligan joins us now. She's a chef, culinary instructor, and food writer, and she teaches classes at various locations around the state, including the Milwaukee Public Market. She frequently writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel food section and has a featured quarterly article in the food magazine Edible Door. Terry, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So when we talk about whole grains, what falls under that category?
Well, a whole grain is actually a grain that's in its natural state. It has to have three components, which would be the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. So you have to have all three of those, and that makes a whole grain. And what happens a lot is some of these grains don't have the bran and the germ in with them, and then you lose 25% of the grain's protein value. So that's why you want to look for something that says a whole grain. It doesn't have to be like a whole big grain. It could be ground and still be a whole grain. It just means they ground up all three of those pieces of the grain. So that's why you look for whole grains.
And for the purposes of our conversation, and I think the way a lot of people cook, we're going to talk about some things that we cook like grains, we serve like grains. They're not technically grains, right?
They're kind of pseudo-grains, we call them. So, you know, people think of them as grains. So let me say wild rice. People think of wild rice as a grain. It's really an aquatic grass. So that's why you see the pictures of Indians harvesting the wild rice and they're canoeing, because it's an seed of an aquatic grass. So there's some of those that people just throw into the grain category when technically they're not really grains. But I just like to see people eat whole foods like that, so I let them get away with it.
So is there evidence that these whole grains are kind of picking up in popularity these days?
Oh, I think there's definite evidence with that. I mean, you can see it everywhere from magazines that probably never would have had anything about kamut in it, 12, 10, 5 years ago. And now you're seeing those types of things coming up. Now, not everybody knows what it is, and that's why I'm here to talk to you. But there are lots of those whole grains coming into the mainstream that you're hearing about.
Yeah, let's name some more names. You mentioned kamut. What are some of the other interesting grains or grain-like plants that we should maybe try cooking with?
Well, one of the best that has a lot of nutritional value is wheat berry, because that is the berry, the entire wheat kernel except the hull. So it's all three of those things I talked about, but it's not ground down. So it becomes, once it's cooked, and they do take a little longer to cook some of these whole grains, but it's a nice kind of chewy texture. So for those of us who might be wanting to substitute some of these grains for meat and poultry and, you know, being more vegetarian in your diet, it gives you that kind of chew that you're looking for. So wheat berry is a great one. Another one of my favorites is farro. And farro is something that, again, is coming into the mainstream a little bit more, originated in the Fertile Crescent over in what really is kind of that Egypt, Syrian, Lebanon area. But it is a grain that you're seeing a lot more of.
I recently decided to try out a recipe I just happened across. It was for a farro salad. It had some cheese and some apple cider in the broth. It was really yummy, but I had to do a little bit of wandering around my grocery store aisles to find it. I did find it, but how available are these grains?
It kind of depends on your grocery store. Sometimes you'll find these grains in with the cereal section. Sometimes I find that they're over in the more kind of the health food, so to speak, area. So you do have to do a little bit of investigative work, I guess I'd call it. But the other nice thing is, if you're in a larger area, such as a Milwaukee or Madison, there's lots of grocery stores or stores that are co-ops, maybe, that would be focusing on those types of grains, and you can find them actually in the big bin format, so you can buy just what you need, and you don't have to store more than you need.
Let's talk about cooking with some of these different grains. I'm sure it varies from grain to grain, but as far as function on our plate, what kind of things can we substitute in these different kinds of grains for?
Well, you can easily substitute them as a main course. The farro we talked about for a minute is great as a risotto. So instead of using the arboreal rice, I use farro and add some sweet corn and some shiitake mushrooms, and it becomes kind of the same type of thing that you would do with an arboreal rice, where you add some liquid a little bit at a time. You do the same thing with the farro. It becomes a little creamy, and it's a nice thing that you could have just as an entree or serve it with a protein like a grilled fish or grilled chicken. So that's a nice way to add some grains to your diet. Salads, you also mentioned, and any of these grains work great in salads. And you also can use them in things for your breakfast items. Expand your oatmeal and add a few of these other grains like quinoa and amaranth in with it.
We're talking to Terry Milligan about expanding our grain horizons, things like farro, quinoa, amaranth, millet, and lots more. By the way, we've got a recipe, which she was just talking about there, to cook with farro. It is farro risotto with corn and wild mushrooms that Terry provided us. Again, that's over on the Central Time Facebook page. You can try it out this weekend.
And let's talk a little bit about that recipe, Terry. I've made homemade risotto before, and I love it, but I don't like the part where I'm standing at my stove and I'm stirring it for an hour. Do you have to do the same thing with the farro, or does it come together differently?
Well, there is some stirring involved. It takes a little less stirring. It's about 25 to 30 minutes total cooking time to make, but I always think that you can be in the kitchen, but you don't have to be constantly stirring. Just kind of keep an eye on it. When that stock is absorbed, add a little bit more, but it's not kind of the same stirring forever as the traditional risotto made with arboreal rice.
So how else does that one come together, and how does it taste when it's done compared to a traditional risotto?
Well, the farro, to me, gives it an earthy flavor, especially when we add the wild mushrooms to it. So the creaminess, it's not as creamy as the arboreal rice. That rice is specific to risotto because it does exude kind of that creamy texture from the starch. So this won't be quite as creamy, but there is a little creaminess to it. But it does have a bigger chew to it. And as I said, that really kind of earthy flavor.
Now, Terry, sometimes I want my grains to be hearty and earthy and maybe chewy. And then sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want something on a par with white rice to go with something, maybe a stir fry on top of it. Are there some alternatives that might have a little more nutritional value than that white rice that still have like a light feel to them?
Well, I think quinoa is a great one that has a lighter feel. And most people, that's a grain that they are more familiar with because it was one of the first grains that came around into the cooking world that became a little bit more mainstream. The other nice thing with quinoa is it cooks very fast, so you can cook some quinoa in probably 10 minutes, and it's also gluten-free. So you get a little bit more texture probably than a rice, but a lot more of your nutritional value than you would with just a white rice in particular.
Yeah, quinoa, it's all over the place these days. Some people are talking about it as a superfood. What is the nutritional breakdown in quinoa?
Oh, I knew you'd ask me that. I don't know.
It's just very good for you.
It's called the superfood because it has all 9 of the essential amino acids in it. So that's why they call it the superfood. I don't know the exact breakdown on the top of my head, but that is why the superfood kind of name has come with quinoa.
And it is high in protein, right?
Oh, it's extremely high in protein, and it's also available now in a lot of different colors. So you can get black quinoa and red quinoa, the traditional kind of white quinoa. Some of them take the darker colors take just a tad longer to cook, but all are very nutritious. Now, that is actually a seed. So that's one of our pseudo-grains.
We're talking about grains and pseudo-grains today with Chef Terry Milligan. She's helping us expand our horizons, and we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite whole grain that you cook with? How did you discover it? How do you prepare it? Do you have a question about how to work with it? Maybe you tried it and went wrong, but you want to try it again. Terry might have some advice for you. Call 800-642-1061. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post and find some recipes over at the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll be back with Terry and with your questions soon. And right now, a few headlines we're keeping an eye on with Kristen Durst from WPR News.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with Chef Terry Milligan about using whole grains in our cooking. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you interested in whole grains but not sure where to start? Or have you started your foray into cooking with these grains and pseudo grains? What kinds of experiences have you had? Good stuff coming out of your kitchen? Let us know. And if you have questions about which grains will work well when you need to be able to make a fast, healthy meal, let us know that, too. Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And at the Facebook page, we have a couple recipes. We mentioned already the farro risotto with corn and wild mushrooms. Now, Terry, we've also got, you sent us wheat berry and wild rice salad stuffed winter squash. I love squash. I love the idea of stuffed squash. Talk us through this recipe.
Well, I can not only talk you through the recipe, I have a video on that recipe, too. So you can go on my website and actually see me make it. So that helps listeners actually see how to work with the grains as well. But with this, I always like to have an edible receptacle if I can. So in this case, it's an acorn squash. So I used acorn squash. I picked two different grains. It's up to you what you like, but I did the wheat berries. Sometimes I use kamut, which I talked about before, kind of a chewy grain. And I used wild rice. And then I added some steamed sweet potatoes, some dried fruit. I used Door County cherries because that's where I'm from in Door County, but you can use whatever dried fruit you want. So kind of toss that together to create a salad, put it in some steamed squash, and just pop it back in the oven, and you have a whole meal in an edible receptacle.
I was trying to bring to mind wheat berries. You said they're a little chewier. So what is the cooking process like on those guys?
Well, wheat berries are some of these grains that are true whole grains do benefit from a soak. So that's one that some people will soak overnight or for a couple of hours in cold water just to kind of soften it up. But berries such as wheat berries, which have all three of the components of a grain still intact, do take about an hour to cook. So basically, you're just simmering them in water on the stove with enough water. If the water goes down a little, you just add a little bit more kind of hot water from a kettle until those berries, those wheat berries are firm, but you can bite them like an al dente kind of pasta, firm to the touch but cooked through. So those types of berries do take a little bit longer than something like a quinoa, which is the seed that takes just a few 10, 15 minutes.
We had a caller, Mary, who called into us at 800-642-1234. I couldn't stay on, but she says she wants to get into, doesn't know that she wants to get into these fancy rices and grains, so she's wondering if she could just cook some white rice, but maybe put some ground flax seeds in the mix to give a little more nutrition. How do you think that might work out, Terry?
Well, I think that would work well. Flax seed is one of those items that does benefit, and she said ground, and that's how you really want to see those flax seeds, ground. That's how you're going to be able to absorb more of the nutrition from the flax seed. So I think that would work out nicely for her.
But do you want to give her a little pep talk to try some of those fancy rices and grains? Because that's what you're shooting for here.
I think she should move away. She can go start, just if she wants to stay in the rice realm, try something like a red Himalaya rice, which is going to have some more nutritional value, but still in the rice category. So you're going to cook it like a rice, and you could add that even to the white rice. So you kind of meld it into your diet. But that red Himalaya rice is very easy to find. There's also a black rice that's around, a little bit more for the more adventurous. I think she's more on, let's just get her into a few of these.
Well, I am big time into soups right now. What do you recommend for a grain that might make a nice sub out for rice in a soup?
Well, again, for a rice in the soup, I would go for something like the Himalaya, which is a little chewier. For grains in a soup, again, I'd go for one of those chewier grains, and that's because you're going to be heating and simmering the soup. If you put something like a quinoa in a soup, it's very tender, and if you cook it too long, it's going to break down. You could add it right at the end. But something like a bulgur or quinoa, I'm sorry, not the quinoa, the kamut, the wheat berry, farro, you've talked about that. That would be a great one for the soup. So those hold up well for a simmering type of a meal.
How about barley? I used to like barley, haven't tried cooking with it in a good long time. If I want to experiment, what would be a good thing to try out with some barley?
Well, barley's great in soup, too, and stews. So those are two things that you could use your barley for. Again, it's a heartier soup, a heartier grain. It does contain gluten, but it's lower in gluten than a lot of the other grains. So for those of you who have to watch that a little bit, the barley, though, again, has gluten, a little lower in the gluten content. Barley, even in a mix with the rice, would be nice.
We're talking with Chef Terry Milligan right now. She's got some ideas about how to cook and start enjoying whole grains in our kitchens and our lives. And Terry, I want to ask you about protein. A lot of people are trying to cut down a little bit on meat these days. Are these whole grains, some of them you mentioned quinoa, that are kind of packing a bigger punch for protein, is that a good way to go? If you want to cut down on meat, can you sub in some of these grains?
Well, definitely a lot of the grains have a lot of protein. You mentioned quinoa. Amaranth is also a very high in protein grain. And that's, again, kind of a pseudo grain. It's a seed and very small, but it's easy to add to things like if you're making, if you are a mom and you want to make your own granola bars, adding a little of that amaranth is in there is a great way to add some protein, magnesium, some antioxidants. So those are two that are really great with the proteins.
I wanted to ask you and maybe see if you can convert me on something, Terry. I once tried cooking with millet. And I'll say I used to work a long time ago at a store that sold bird seed. And when I ate the millet, I thought, yeah, I'm eating warmed up bird seed here. This is really unexciting. What's a good way to eat
well,
some millet?
That's funny because when I used to own a restaurant, and about 15 years ago, I made something for the restaurant, a burger, a vegetable burger, and used millet. And my I was the only woman. All my male chefs were always kidded me about the bird seed in the So it is actually dates back. It's one of our oldest seeds. It is gluten-free, but it dates back to West Asia about 10,000 years ago. And it is a staple in African, Indian, and China diets and very high in zinc and vitamin B. But it is used in the West, as you said, as bird food a lot. But it is very quick cooking. So I think it's just a matter of adding it to something else. I don't think it's something that you're going to be sitting around eating a bowl of millet. But you could add that even into things to get some more nutrition, into even a meatloaf. Add a few grains into the meatloaf. Get the kids to get some of those grains, but they don't really know they're getting them because it's mixed in with meatloaf or meatballs.
Can you do anything kind of desserty and fun? Is if you really want to get distance yourself from the whole bird seed metaphor, can you do kind of decadent things with grains at all?
Well, you can definitely do things with quinoa and make like a what we would refer to as a rice pudding, but using some of these grains, like a more of a quick cooking grain like a quinoa. Cornmeal is considered a grain, and there's a lot of things you can do with that. I am doing something for a little get-together for Edible Door magazine in a couple of days, and I made a cornmeal cake made with olive oil and rosemary, but it's a dessert cake. I threw a little Grand Marnier in it, too.
Sounds pretty good.
Because it is the holidays. But you can definitely use those whole grains, like the cornmeal and something like that.
As far as combinations go, too, I know in that wheat berry and wild rice salad that we put in winter squash, I think you've got some nuts and fruit in this mixture. It seems like a lot of these grains are things that would go well with various kinds of nuts, maybe dried fruits.
Dried fruits go great because you get that sweetness to go with it, too. So that's a nice addition. I have on my website a tabbouleh salad that uses traditional bulgur, adds the quinoa, but then I roasted eggplant to put in with it, too. So kind of adding a little bit more dimension to a traditional preparation.
And one of our callers used the word fancy when describing these grains. Is that fair, and do they cost more than the other ones?
Again, it depends on the grain. I find that some of them are very reasonable. I just went to our Whole Foods store here in Door County and got some kamut, and it was less than $3 for a pound. But then if you go and try to find quinoa, it's gone very expensive. One of the reasons for quinoa being expensive is that it is a seed that grows in a high elevation, and it's hard to grow. And the other thing is it is very being used a lot. So you're finding some of these grains like that being a little bit more expensive. But I think things like the bulgur, barley, cornmeal, things like that are certainly in the price range that people can afford.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
That was Chef Terry Milligan sharing her ideas with us about how to cook and enjoy whole grains. Her recipes for farro risotto with corn and wild mushrooms and wheat berry and wild rice salad stuffed winter squash. You can find all of those on the Central Time Facebook page.